just a great man, and still a very big part of our family here at WABC. And he joins us right now this morning, Congressman King. How are you, pal?
Sid, I'm doing great. Bernie, how are you? You know, one thing if I could add on that Giant Denver game in 2001, the Giants color announcer was Dick Lynch.
Yes.
Former Giant player. And his son was killed on 9/11.
Yes, that's true. And you know what? You know what? And Dick Lynch, who was a great guy, I got to know Dick very well because I was doing the pregame show for WFAN for the Giants back then. You know, Peter, he fell apart after that. That was it. He was obviously.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I met him once or twice after that, and he certainly seemed like a different person.
Yes, he was, and he's gone too, so God rest his soul. Let's talk about this this conflict going on right now in Israel, Peter. You dealt with these foreign affairs quite a bit, homeland security, all your positions with government. It looks as though the Israelis are just defending themselves, but once again coming under fire from some of the anti-Semites that still work for this administration, this Biden administration. What are your thoughts on what's going on in Israel today?
Yeah, listen, I don't want to be taking a cheap shot at the Biden administration, but the fact is none of this happened under the Trump administration. The last time there was trouble in the Middle East, real trouble, was back in 2014. Actually, I was over there at the time with David Patterson and the New York Board of Rabbis on the day that finally ended. But under the Trump administration, Trump made it clear Iran was the enemy. He was standing with Israel. And they made achievements in the Middle East that hadn't been done for 50 years, the Abraham Accords. Egypt and Jordan becoming stronger and stronger allies of Israel and the United States. Saudi Arabia being a backdoor ally at the time. Iran was isolated. Hamas, and Iran is the one who finances Hamas. They were isolated. The only time there was any attacks at all, and they lasted about a day, was when President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and the whole Middle East was supposed to go up in flames. There was like one day of demonstrations, and that ended it. What you see here now is the Biden administration is almost showing it's desperate to enter a nuclear deal with Iran. That's interpreted as weakness in the Middle East, not as diplomacy, but as weakness. So now you have other countries are going to start shying away from us. It emboldens Hamas. Hamas would not be making these attacks, I don't believe. I'm almost 100% certain, without the okay from Iran. So we have all of this coming undone in the Middle East. And again, there's a reason why it never happened under President Trump, because he was making it clear the U.S. was with Israel. There was no nonsense. We were going to back out of it, not back out, withdraw from the deal with Iran. And we would do whatever we had to do to secure Israel and also to secure our own position in the Middle East, because Israel is our closest ally. And you had all these Arab countries coming to the White House to sign agreements with Netanyahu, who is considered the most evil man, supposedly, by the Palestinians and by Hamas and by Iran. So he brought this together. And also with Netanyahu, I like Netanyahu, but even if I didn't, he's the leader of our closest ally in the Middle East. Basically, the Biden is cold-shouldered Netanyahu. So that's another sign of uncertainty that Hamas and Iran are taking advantage of.
You're right about that, Congressman Peter King. And the guy brokering the, whatever negotiations are going on right now is this guy, Secretary of State Blinken, who, as Sebastian Gorka characterized it, got bitch-slapped by the Chinese in Alaska on our own soil. Weakness leads to aggression. You just mentioned that. Weakness leads to war, Congressman King. I mean, you have this turmoil in the Mideast, a direct result of weakness, as you point out. You have the cyber attack on the pipeline, which is basically a Russian attack on us. And you have China making noises about invading, retaking Taiwan. I mean, Taiwan. Where does it end?
Yeah, this is all tests of the Biden administration. And they are showing weakness. In China, they're showing some strength, but certainly in the Middle East, and the whole world looks toward the Middle East. We are showing we're vacillating in the Middle East. We're not standing firmly with Israel. Even, these statements they put out, there's almost like a moral equivalency between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Here you have a sovereign state of Israel, which is abiding by all its agreements. It's being missiles being shot into Israel by the terrorist organization Hamas. And yet somehow our government is taking the position that these are two sides, we have to work it out between them, and implying that Israel is at least partially at fault when they're not. We should be standing with them 100%.
Can't argue. It is hard to believe how backwards we've gone in a couple of months since Donald Trump has left office and these folks have taken over. Let's talk to you about Liz Cheney. Big day for Liz Cheney today up in D.C. Obviously, you know what's going on there. What do you think about that whole saga, Liz Cheney?
Yeah, I sort of, I think, partially disagree with you guys. I mean, Liz Cheney, I think the fact that she is so critical of the president and she's in leadership really raises issues. I had a very good relationship with her, working with her, but I also like Elise Stefanik. So I'm not trying to split the difference here. They're really, I think, two very able people. And Liz Cheney has decided, I think, she wants to take this fight against the president. And because of that, McCarthy felt he had to move. My concern is that this is going to be considered a victory for President Trump within the Republican Party, but it's going to show the rest of the country that, you know, that we're a divided party. I wish they could have resolved it another way. But, yeah, I wish Elise Stefanik the best. I've been a good supporter and friend of hers, Liz Cheney. And I know you guys aren't crazy about her. She's very good to work with, very reliable. And she was one of the first members in Congress to come out for the 9/11 compensation funds 2 years ago when this was still a big issue.
Well, Peter King, she—I used to have a lot of respect for. She's a brilliant lady, but she's become a useful idiot for the left. She's all over CNN and NBC and all of these stations. So, I mean, that indicates that she's harming the Republican Party if they're championing her. I think.
Yeah, no, it does, and that happens. By the way, when I voted against Bill Clinton's impeachment for about 4 weeks, I was the hero of CNN. Thank God for myself, I saw through that. I mean, they turned on you in a second. I mean,
right.
A few years later, when I was doing the hearings on Muslim infiltration, I was like Adolf Hitler. So to CNN and MSNBC and them.
Right.
No, you have to avoid being used by them. Talk about the fake media. That's what personifies it.
And by the way, yes, her dad was the most hated man by the fake news before Donald Trump came along. Her dad was, and by extension, her as well.
Yeah, that's why you really have to try to avoid being used by these people, because they will use you and drop you. I mean, if you listen now to CNN, Liz Cheney is the greatest person that ever came along, and you're right. If you even mention the name Cheney on CNN, they probably would have banned you and they would have canceled you.
By the way, Dick wasn't, a lot of Republicans were not happy with Dick Cheney either. Just wasn't just that side of the aisle. But Liz Cheney has suddenly become a hero of those folks today. There's no question. Congressman Peter King here with Bernie and Sid on this big Wednesday morning. So the mayor race is heating up here in the city. We had Curtis Sliwa in studio, Peter, 2 days ago. Eric Adams is set to join us in studio coming up on Wednesday. Both Adams and Yang came out yesterday in support of Israel. Good for those guys. The New York Times has endorsed Catherine Garcia. Peter King, any comments, any thoughts on the mayor race?
Yeah, first, I am actually speaking at a fundraiser for Curtis this Friday night. Master
yeah,
people.
All right.
He's coming out to Long Island. It's going to be a good fundraiser.
The Busy Bee Flea Market and the Baldwin Brothers.
So he's going to – listen, Curtis is a good guy. He's a good friend, and I certainly support him in the Republican primary. I would hope he wins in November. Obviously, you know, it's a Democratic city, but anything can happen. On the Democratic side, I think probably Eric Adams is the best of a bad lot. And the reason I say that, I've even spoken to some pretty hardcore cops who have gone at it publicly with Eric Adams in the past. But they say that they feel that behind, behind doors, you can work with them, you can negotiate with them, and that basically he has a lot of common sense. So, he was close to Farrakhan at one time. He's, I think, goes too far in his criticism of the police. Having said that, crime is the big issue. And he's the only one right now making any sense at all. And people that I know and respect feel, even though they've had public differences with Eric Adams, he is the type of guy that you can deal with, and he does have the best interest of the city at heart.
So speaking of, politicians who are horrible, Joe Biden, Trump said it during the transition that Sleepy Joe is out of gas. Or he said it early on in his administration, and literally and figuratively, that turned out to be true. So now everybody's comparing Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. We have the Mideast turmoil that we talked about, expensive gas, inflation, rising crime, all this stuff, racial tension, which albeit started before this administration, but began really under the Obama administration. What are your thoughts on Joe Biden?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the similarities to Jimmy Carter are real. Also, one other thing that he has in common with Carter, and it's talking down America. I mean, Carter was basically, you know, the U.S. has to realize it was no longer, the only major power in the world. All that talk coming from Carter, and he was talking about this inordinate fear of communism, all that nonsense, which turned out to be totally untrue. But it created a defeatist attitude in the United States. And that's what Biden, like, when he gave his State of the Union speech or the address to Congress, and he said that the knee on the neck of George Floyd that that was the American criminal justice system. That to me was such a horrific, diabolical lie against the United States. So yeah, he's downing America. And as far as the this thing with the gas crisis, you know, we still don't know all that happens. The fact is, if it comes from Russia, whether or not the Russian government is involved, they seem to be looking the other way, allowing this to go on. The message has to be loud and clear. We're not going to tolerate this any longer. And I was just talking to my daughter, who now is down in North Carolina. She said she drove by 10 gas stations this morning. Every one of them
out of gas.
Sold out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, out of gas. It shows how vulnerable we are on this. And one of the only ways to really prevent this is, you know, we can have all the technology in the world. Somebody can always find a way around it. We have to get the best technology and hope for the best. But the other is to let people know there's going to be real consequences for this. And the Russian government has to be put on notice that if it's coming out of Russia, it's up to them to find out how and why and stop it. No excuses.
Newt Gingrich actually went as far as saying we should probably kill these people.
and we should stop worrying about employing transgender, cisgender, anxiety disordered people in the CIA and focus on stopping cyber attacks.
Like something like that. Hey, 60 seconds to go on a much lighter note, Peter.
Yeah.
Of the three local hockey teams, only one made the playoffs. You know this team pretty well. A little sad that as the Islanders get set to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, this is the end of hockey at Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, it really is, and not that I'm trying to inject myself into this, but if you look at the original lease between the Islanders and the Nassau Coliseum, my name is one of the those down at the bottom of the lease.
Now, was that before or after they won those four Stanley Cups?
That was before. It was 1972.
Wow.
I was a young lawyer in the Nassau County Attorney's Office, and I was assigned to work on the negotiations with the Islanders and the Coliseum. I remember at the time, the owner of the Islanders, who was Roy Bowe, also owned the Nets. And his dream was that sometime the Islanders would be as popular as the Nets. Well, a few years later, the Nets were gone, and the Islanders went on to win the four straight Stanley Cups. And those guys, by the way, those players are great guys. They say Bobby Nystrom is still on Long Island.
Yep.
Others, they were really class act. Brian Trottier, Clark Gillies. These were really top-notch guys. And, of course, Billy Smith, who was the nastiest guy in hockey. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He sort of reminds me of Bernie, you know? He's always taking shots.
Yes, a little bit.
Somebody's got to do it.
All Hall of Famers, that whole team. I mean, even guys that did make the Hall of Fame.
Team.
Yeah, the whole team.
And then Al Lava, what a coach he was.
Great coach. And, of course, Bill Torrey, who just was with me down in Florida with the Panthers not that long ago, he passed away. He was a great architect, too. You're a Hall of Famer, Peter. Another great appearance. We love when you come on. Thank you so much. For hopping
you guys are great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Long live the king.
Long live. Congressman Peter King here on Bernie and Sid.